This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Today we're going to be talking about BRAC again, and we've had a couple shows about it, but there's always some new information going on about what's going on with the BRAC. As we know, the BRAC is a Base Realignment and Closure Act that has a big effect on this area, on the D.C. area. Arlington County is going to be losing about 17,000 positions or people who have to move to different agencies, or their agencies are being moved across the country to Huntsville, Kentucky, Fort Meade, and everywhere else. And so this has a big impact on our area. Today I have in the studio with me the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Dr. Andrea Morris. Dr. Morris, thanks for coming in and kind of keeping us up to date on what's going on with BRAC. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Talk to us about, well, let's go into what's going on with the BRAC Center real quick. I mean, you guys have a BRAC Transition Center in Arlington County, right in Crystal City area.
Yes.
What's happening? I mean, the BRAC deadlines are coming up, what, 2011, 2012?
2011, September 15th, 2011.
Okay. What's going on?
Increase is the word. As the timeline grows closer, people are really beginning to understand the impact to them. The jobs are moving. The law is not changing. And so as a result of that, the workforce is beginning to get really interested in what's in it for them. What can they do? What options do they have? And so they're coming in by the loads, asking a lot of questions, getting into one-on-one counseling sessions, taking advantage of the workforce sessions that we have, the seminars. And so we expect that to continue. We expect the increase to continue. As a matter of fact, yesterday alone, we had five or so walk-ins, just one right after the other, from one agency in particular that just received an announcement. So we expect that to increase all the more.
With that being the case, I mean, when you talk about increasing, are you seeing more people one-on-ones? Are you seeing more people coming to the seminars? I mean, because you guys give a wide variety of services, and even break that down for us in terms of the services. What's the increase, and what services are you giving to kind of BRAC transition workers?
The increase is all of the above that you mentioned. It is one-on-one counseling. It is also in the seminars. And our seminars cover everything from networking to what does it mean to attend
to resume writing, federal resume writing.
Absolutely, and all of those things. But what do you do when you go into
when you go into a kind of a networking scenario or interview?
Interview, networking, but also going into
career fairs.
Thank you, career fairs. Right. I could not think of that word. Career fairs, what do you do? How do you manage those? What are your priorities? Those are the type of questions that people are asking, or actually don't know what to ask. And so we're presenting that to them. KSAs, even though it's coming down the pike, the KSAs will be quote unquote eliminated in the beginning, still there's a need to know how do you market yourself? What do you present? So that there's a very involved session about that. And the one-on-one counseling sessions are very, very aggressive, very robust. It's really a counseling function, if you will, in the beginning, because many people have not been in this scenario in a long time, 20 plus years. Many of these persons have had their jobs, and so stepping out into the work world is something many of them are not familiar with. So there's an opportunity to get them engaged, to ask questions, to get into their minds, to think, what is it that you're thinking and wanting? What is it that you have not done that you've always dreamed about doing? Let's talk about that.
You provide services to also the kind of business community surrounding. I mean, because, you know, they're concerned about the number of people leaving, about how that's going to affect their businesses.
Absolutely.
Some shops have, you know, possibly closed up and everything else. I mean, with that being the case, I mean, have you seen more of an increase in that, or are you seeing more tenants who are going to take this space? I mean, what's happening with the transition? Are people kind of coming in and saying, well, okay, they're leaving, we're going to go ahead and assume this space? Are you bringing more people in? What's happening?
There's a combination of that. Yes, the tenants who are currently in the space, especially those of the restaurants and the smaller retail, are concerned. We are having more conversations with them about the timeline, the true effect, if you will. And unfortunately, we're not able to give them the true effect yet because it's still a little ways off. We speak to them very candidly that, yes, there is going to be a removal of the foot traffic, if you will, that comes into your store every day. Yes, you will see less people come in and purchasing goods and services. Yes, that is a fact. Now we know that that's a fact. Let's get a game plan. Let's look at your marketing plan. Let's look at your business plan. Is it ready? What do we need to do to get it ready for that, to survive, if you will, this interim period? And on the other side, we are working with our business investment group of economic development to take a look and see who we can attract. Who do we want to be in that space?
Are other agencies interested?
Yes.
Because these kind of buildings are already kind of pre-configured, maybe for some other agencies.
That's true.
Do you get some other agencies who are knocking on the door?
That's true. You're right. They are pre-configured. And yet they lend themselves to some flexibility as well. And because the buildings currently as they are don't meet the security requirements of DOD specifically, there's an opportunity for the developers to go in and revamp them. Our Crystal City plan, which hopefully will be approved in October of this year by the county board, is a 50-year redevelopment plan of that space, which means that there are going to be buildings that will be torn down and new ones erected. There are open spaces that are going to be built. And so the caliber of business and the type of businesses that we're looking to attract is going to be different.
So are you saying that where Crystal City has been very much a predominant federal market,
mm-hmm.
are you saying that now you're trying to maybe open it up to some other industries?
Yes.
Or is that
yes.
what you're kind of thinking about?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. We have learned not having all our eggs in one basket, okay. if you will, anymore.
But you're diversity. Not saying we're shunning away the federal.
Absolutely
but
not.
It's
absolutely
just kind of
not.
Making it more dual use.
Yes, for our sake, really. Our economy has been DOD. By and large, the Pentagon is in Arlington. Of course, we cannot deny that. We are not looking to deny that. We want to take advantage of that and continue our partnership with DOD, with the Pentagon. And yet we understand also that we have to diversify. We have to bring in businesses that can support those types of activities, but that also can draw in a broader mix of activities and businesses in the media and communications networking. Also, research and development. We're building a science and technology quarter in Boston. So that's a huge, huge opportunity for us to expand and to grow and to diversify. So we're looking at that very deliberately as we rebuild Crystal City, if you will. So, yes, the businesses are very concerned about that, and we're working hard to respond.
Is Arlington County and maybe just Virginia as a whole, are you guys providing some incentives to kind of maybe encourage people? I mean, are there, certain kind of tax incentives or certain things to kind of say, hey, listen, we want you to come into this space that's going to be available in the next year or two?
It's case by case. I'll be okay. really honest to say that. The governor has a fund, if you will, a business fund that we like to utilize and tap into when we're really interested in bringing in a big name, a big business to come in and set up residence. And so we look at things case by case. Depends on who they are, what they're going to bring to the table, what number of jobs they'll be bringing to Arlington itself, who's going to follow those jobs, what are going to be the spinoff effects of that. Those are all very important questions that we look at when we do that.
With that being the case, you guys have a lot going on. I mean, I'm hearing two things. We got increases in the number of people,
mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing also, you really pushing hard in terms of kind of getting people to come into the space and reinvest back into Arlington.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about a 50-year plan.
Yes.
In terms of, hopefully we'll be around to see that kind of take fruition. I mean, but you mentioned something really, really important. You mentioned that some of these buildings don't meet the DOD requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
What is that you're talking about in terms of the DOD requirements? Because these are already DOD agencies who are already in there.
They are.
What's going on with that?
The Department of Defense has specific anti-terrorism and force protection standards,
okay.
which means that...
And these are new standards since kind of 9/11 or just new
yes.
within the past couple of years.
9/11.
Okay.
In particular, 9/11. They've established that activities that have a threshold of more than 25% DOD personnel have to reside in a building that has a certain number of feet set back from the street, that are required to have certain types of windows, and the walls have to meet
kind of
a certain
shatterproof windows,
all
or
those
bomb
kinds
resistant.
Of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if it's more than 25%, then any garage space can only be for DOD personnel. So there are specific elements that are required for DOD activity to be in a leased space activity. And the buildings currently in Crystal City, because they were erected in the 60s and 70s, don't meet that. And that's why this 2014 mandate that's coming forward that DOD has in place, that all of their activities must be in secured space, is very important for Arlington because, excuse me.
And let me ask this question, because yes. there are some DOD people who are not leaving.
Correct.
You know, so
Correct.
With this new mandate, I mean, you're talking about a completely reconfiguration of a lot of buildings yes. within Arlington County.
Yes, potentially so. Yes. And it's of concern for us. The developers themselves must determine, am I willing to undertake this type of renovation? And in some cases, it's not a renovation. They would have to implode those buildings and erect them again because of the nature of the building. It's an old building. It's an obsolete building in some cases. There are environmental concerns now, LEED certification. All those things are issues that developers must undertake, and we as a county are working with them to engage them in conversation to get them a part of task forces that we have going forward.
I'm talking to the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Dr. Andrea Morris. We got a lot of other things going on. We got the bill that Congressman Moran is talking about, trying mm-hmm. to, you know, slow this process down. Mm-hmm. We've got the Gates announcement that I mentioned of some agencies closing, the Business Transformation Agency, and a lot of other things going on. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to Chow Fraya Thai in Herndon, offering the finest Thai cuisine and warm hospitality. Blue Ridge Shadows Golf Club in Front Royal, Virginia's most beautiful golf course, ranked fourth in Virginia by Golf Magazine, and Waggle Golf Pass, a book containing huge golf deals throughout the D.C. metro area. See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting slide.
Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
The Defense Information Systems Agency is testing virtual business applications on thin client computers. Henry Sinkowitz is the CIO of DISA.
As a small pilot of about 1,000 people strong, so that when you log in and you use that DoD visitor, you can actually log on and grab applications that you can go and store things. So you'll see the vOffice and the vDrive, where you're able to store this as part of this entire continuum of service offerings.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about BRAC, and we're talking about the impact of BRAC on the area. We've been talking about it for quite some time now, but there's always new stuff going on, and we're always finding out new information, so we've got to get this BRAC update every once in a while. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, and she's breaking things down for us. We were talking about this DOD kind of authorization in 2014.
Yes.
That's saying that, you know, all these buildings have to be reconfigured mm-hmm. to kind of prevent terrorism and to, you know, ensure the safety and security of a lot of the DOD workers within a building.
Yes.
And what I'm hearing is that if a building has 25% DOD occupants, mm-hmm. then it has to be reconfigured.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
And with the developers, they're not sure if they want to invest, because it's a lot of money that has to be reinvested.
It is.
I mean, is DOD putting some funding into this? I mean, what's happening?
No funding is being put into it by DOD. The mandate is what it is, and either it's complied with or not. And really, on its face, that's what it is. And so what Arlington is doing in concert with Congressman Moran is holding conversations with the developers. We're working on language to affect.
What are you hearing from the developers? I mean, as you're going to these meetings, what are the developers saying?
They're very concerned. They're absolutely concerned. This impacts their ability to get funding from banks to reconstitute their buildings. We've heard repeatedly that DOD's requirements, their anti-terrorism force protection requirements as well, are an impact to them because these buildings don't meet it. And so what is the guarantee for the banks that they will have leases, they will have occupants in these spaces going forward? So why would a bank lend a developer millions of dollars if they can't quote unquote guarantee they're going to have some leases inside? So the development community is very concerned. Excuse me. They are very much engaged in the conversation. We've held a couple of meetings already. We had a breakfast in June, and additional meetings will be going forward. Again, the effort is to develop some language that can be formed to legislation put forward that would require DOD to abide by the Interagency Security Committee standards.
Does this mean for the developers, if they do kind of meet this compliance, I mean, are we talking about, you know, this is going to be, is it an incentive that, you know, Department of Defense is going to say, well, we're going to give you a 25-year lease, or, I mean, something longer term? I mean, are you hearing that in meetings that if you do go ahead and comply with these standards and change around your whole building, will some things happen that will assure you that you'll always have this money coming in?
No. Okay. I wish. I wish, and developers wish that much more. So we're working with GSA as well very closely, because of course GSA normally is the grantor of the leases on behalf of DOD. And even though this requirement's in place, GSA is still putting out RFPs for space in the area, in the National Capital Region. And many times this space has requirements to be within a certain number of feet within a metro. That doesn't lend itself to many other places in the National Capital Region outside of Alexandria and Arlington, maybe Prince George's, and D.C., of course. And so given the fact that the agencies want to be located in the inner ring, if you will, there has to be an understanding of the space that they're trying to take advantage of. This is valuable land. We cannot afford to have an 80-foot, 142-foot setback on a space that's empty. You know, just for the sake of DOD, we could be making money, if you will. Any jurisdiction could be making money from that. And so, unfortunately, no, there's no recognition, at least to this date, to this point, by DOD, or no admission, if you will, by DOD, that if you do this, then we're willing to.
Is it a negotiation process, or Department of Defense has just basically said, this is our new rule, you either go with it or not, or is there some room for negotiation that you're hearing within Department of Defense?
It's their rule, and it is what it is.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is affect it on the legislative side.
Okay. And what's Moran? He's mm-hmm. kind of trying to slow this down, or he's trying to make a rule changes? I mean, what is he doing?
Regarding the 2014 mandate, he's trying to get the legislation changed. And so he's been spearheading these meetings, and he's going to continue to do so. He wants to get a very robust conversation with us and D.C. He's working with the delegate Holmes Norton as well to get a conversation going that would directly affect DOD's ability to require these stringent setbacks and not abide by the ISC standards. The ISC standards are much more urban friendly. They will secure a space completely.
An ISC?
Interagency Security Committee. They will secure a space completely. DARPA, the Defense Agency's Research Projects mm-hmm. Agency, is also abiding by these standards. And DARPA is in Arlington. So we know that we can secure a building. We have other research activities in Arlington as well that are abiding by those standards. So we want DOD to allow all activities to do that.
Is Department of Defense, are their rules more stringent than others? I mean,
yes.
I know other agencies are sometimes setting up their kind of physical security protection plans and everything else, but DOD's, is they're the ones who's the most stringent out of all the agencies that you're kind of dealing with in Arlington?
Yes. Okay. There are two standards. There are DOD standards, and then there are the GSA standards, what people call GSA, but it's actually DHS, the Interagency Security Committee standards. Those are the two. And DOD's requirements, again, for the setbacks in particular, this is, again, I said it before, valuable space, land, that urban communities just are not equipped to give up, if you will, in that way, and not receive any type of revenues from. And that's a big deal. That's a huge ask of them on urban communities. There has been conversation, I will say, on DOD side to recognize that they are in urban communities, that there may need to be some leeway, if you will, some lax in their security standards. And so conversations are supposed to be going on between DOD and GSA as to maybe we need to abide by these. We'll see what happens. We're waiting for that to come to the surface.
You mentioned Congressman Moran, and he seemed like beyond him doing this, he's putting forth a bill to kind of slow down this BRAC process, especially with things going on at the Mark Center. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Congressman Moran has put in language that would cap the number of parking spaces at 1,000.
And just for those people who don't know, I mean, what's going on with the Mark Center? I mean, what's happening with that whole
process? The Mark Center is the newest extension of Fort Belvoir. In December 2008, the decision was finally made, and I will put the word finally on there, made to send these 6,400 jobs that are in leased space in Crystal City and Arlington, in Alexandria, to the Mark Center. And this was in 2008. The BRAC law was 2005. 3 years later, this decision was made to send these 6,400 jobs. So we're already at a deficit. The jobs were to go to the Mark Center instead of the Victory Center and or the GSA warehouse in Franconia. Those were the other three options.
All Department of Defense jobs?
Yes. Okay. They're all DOD jobs. So with that
various
decision.
Various agencies or any one particular agency?
Various agencies. Okay. Majority of them are with Washington Headquarters Services, and it has about nine different directorates inside. With that decision in 2008, again, 3 years after the BRAC became law, decided to send it to the Mark Center. There was no building erected, no infrastructure in place. There's no public transportation, maybe a bus that comes through very, very infrequently to support a move of 6,400 jobs to that space. Immediately, there were outcries about how are the people going to get to that space. There's no metro accessible. The closest metro is King Street. There is no direct route to King Street.
And when you talk about King Street, the closest metro, that's what, how many miles away is it?
It's about 5 miles.
Okay.
But even though it's not a lot of miles away, it's circuitous.
Sure.
It's through residential space, and some of the streets are not. Buses are not allowed to go down. So how do you really make a route to the Mark Center? Not an easy thing to do. It'd add 30 to 40 minutes to the
community.
So
you're talking about gridlock in that whole area?
More than gridlock.
Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, the persons that are coming from these jobs, these 6,400 jobs, are on public transit routes. They're on the VRE. They're on the Metro. They're in slug lines. So they are used to getting onto a public transit access and then getting to work. Getting to the Mark Center would add, again, 40 to an hour to their commute, and they will get in their cars to do that. We already know that. So what Congressman Moran has been doing from the outset is really voicing this very loudly. Why in the world would you put them at this space? But now that you have, we need infrastructure ready for them.
And how far along are we with this process? I mean, the Mark Center, I think I passed by the other day. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's up already.
It essentially is. It's about... Design is 100% complete, and construction will not be complete until September of next year. Now, the move-in, it will be phased in thereafter. So it's going to be longer than the September 2011 date, but the keys will be handed over, and I think that's their benchmark.
I have the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County with me, Dr. Andrea Morris. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, He tends toward Italian instruments, made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
We asked women how they felt about getting older. Their number one answer?
Invisible.
I am the invisible woman.
No one gives me a second glance anymore. It's like, hello, over here.
Well, Instant Effect is going to change that because we believe every woman deserves smooth, beautiful skin that gets noticed. In fact, we feel so strongly about it, we're giving every woman who wants to look noticeably younger instantly a free trial of Instant Effect. Just call 1-800-900-1141 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a proprietary skin-firming serum that tightens skin on contact. Just smooth it on and watch your wrinkles and fine lines disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. The results are so dramatic, women have called it life-changing.
I get noticed now. I look like I did 5, maybe even 10 years ago.
Take years off your appearance instantly with your risk-free trial of Instant Effect. Just call 1-800-900-1141 in the next 10 minutes. That's a free trial at 1-800-900-1141.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been having a real interesting conversation about all the things that's going on with the BRAC, the base realignment and closure, I should say. I always say something about commission. The base realignment and closure of 2005 that has a real, real big impact on the D.C. area, especially Arlington County. And I have with me the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Dr. Andrea Morris. And we've been talking about everything that's going on with the BRAC. When we left off, Dr. Morris, we were talking about what's going on with this Mark Center, mm-hmm. Congressman Moran trying to put legislation in place. What's this legislation saying? We were talking about the gridlock that's going to be caused that is going through this residential area, that there's, the infrastructure is not in place to absorb all these people going over there. What's the bill saying?
The language in the legislation is will require DOD to cap parking spaces at the site at 1,000 until specific infrastructure measures are taken. And there are about 6 different requirements that he's put forward. And they include egress and ingress points.
Now, when you say capping, are you saying that this legislation, if passed, will hold tight and just kind of say, we're only going to allow 1,000 people to work in this center for the time being? I mean, is that what I'm hearing?
Not necessarily to work in it, but to park at the space. Now, if persons can get to Mark Center without driving, then so be it. But as far as parking there, he's capping the parking at 1,000 until this infrastructure is in place. Again, ingress and egress points.
So what does that mean for, for agencies who will start operations in those buildings if the parking has been capped?
That's a very good question, and that's a question that's really buzzing around. What it can mean is that the agencies will not be able to actually relocate those persons to the Mark Center, and they will stay in their leased office space until that infrastructure is ready, which could be 2014, 2015, or thereafter.
Well, let me ask this question, though. I mean, is the infrastructure being built? I mean, we're talking about, you know, maybe building out a new metro line, a new bus line, this, that, and the other. And 2014 is not that far away. And given the amount of time that it takes to build infrastructure in terms of mass transit.
Correct.
Is this even feasible?
That's a good question. And that's a question that again, it's buzzing around. No, there's no infrastructure development in place currently. There is a lot of conversation back and forth. VDOT has, and Virginia Department of Transportation, has undertaken several studies that have not been approved by the city. And as a result of that, there's no...
By the city of
Alexandria.
Okay.
And as a result, there's no plan in place. There are no activities in place currently to do infrastructure development. However, the understanding is there that it's necessary. And so part of the bill, and this bill has passed in the House, by the way. It has not passed in the Senate. It has passed in the House. And if it does not pass in the Senate, it can still go into conference and come out. So we're not sure what the end result's going to be.
I know you guys have been monitoring it. I mean, what's the possibility that the Senate may pass this?
Actually, it's currently not in the Senate bill at all. the language was there, but it was removed. Okay. So we're not sure what that, again, what that's going to mean. It could come out of conference yet again. So we're still waiting. We're keeping our eye on it. We're in conversations with those that we need to be with to find out what the end result's going to be. And in the interim, the 6,400 are nervous. And understandably so. So again, the increase that I'm talking about is part of them as well. What do we do?
Sure.
What is this going to mean for us?
How many parking spaces are already at the Mark Center right now?
The parking spaces actually are for non-DOD activities that are currently at the center. Okay. And so there are no, because this is a new DOD activity, there are two garages that are planned for the Mark Center.
And is the Mark Center meeting this DOD new authorization for the 2014?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes. It is a secured facility. And there will be almost 4,000 parking spaces there. Now, again, there are 6,400 jobs coming in, but there are only going to be about 4,000 spaces, a little less than 4,000 spaces. And capping it at 1,000 right now, and in Congressman Moran's mind, will allow the infrastructure development to take place. A ramp needs to come into the space itself.
And where is this money coming from? Is this money coming from Department of Transportation? Is the City of Alexandria funding this? Is the State of Virginia funding this? I mean, we're already talking about budget deficits in a lot of different areas within federal, state, and local government. You're talking about a massive undertaking to build new infrastructure to support this. I mean, where is the money coming from? Is DOD talking about putting money into this?
The request will go to DOD. Yes. No, DOD is not talking about putting funds into it, but that is where the request will go. We haven't talked about this yet, but the Defense Access Road Program, and which we are going to talk about in a moment, is a potential source for this. DAR, as it's known, is in place to support and help build infrastructure outside the gate of communities that are impacted by, and on post as well. But it's a potential source for it. However, some of the criteria that are required for DAR, we don't meet. And the one in particular is the doubling of traffic in a community. And if we were to ever double traffic on 395, I've heard it said this way, we would have traffic to Miami. I mean, literally, it would be impossible. So we need the Defense Department to lift that. And so as a result of that.
And DAR funds are usually for kind of underdeveloped areas in terms of kind of developing maybe new. It's used to kind of develop kind of new areas and maybe build out where you can, not an area that's already. D.C. and the kind of Arlington County is very much already built out, it seems.
Well, that's an interesting observation. And yes and no. Yes and no. It is there to support defense activities no matter where they are, if they meet the criteria. And because of who we are in an urban setting, we usually don't meet the criteria. So we are precluded, really, from participating in it. And as a result of that, Senator Mark Warner has requested a study of the DAR program. It's in process now. And the Transportation Research Board, of the National Academies of Science is undertaking it. And they've come out with a preliminary report that shows that these requirements are very much obsolete and ineffective for urban communities in this day. They were last changed in 1978. Look where we are now. We're vastly different from that time. And so he's asking and putting forward a request to Secretary Gates now to change some of those requirements, the one in particular being the doubling, because again, it precludes us. And then also asking that local jurisdictions be able to request the funds, because currently only garrison commanders can. And a garrison commander is concerned about what's going on his base or her base. Not so much what's going on outside the gate, but it's outside the gate that allows them to get to the base. And so we need this meeting of the minds, if you will, that would allow local communities to get involved in that conversation ahead of time. And so that's one of the requests that he's making as well.
Go ahead.
So we're hopeful that if these changes are accepted by Secretary Gates, then the DAR funds would be a source for funding for the infrastructure development around the Mark Center. We're not sure.
Now, we're kind of anticipating a lot of different things. A lot of things are up in the air, and we don't necessarily know where this will go. What we do know is that the Mark Center is being built, and that we do know there's a timetable, which is what, for these people to move into the center, which is what, 2011?
It still is 2011.
Okay, so given that we do know this and that infrastructure won't be in place, I mean, what, and we don't know if this bill will pass or not, what is being done to kind of say, okay, what we do know and what's being planned in order to absorb this new kind of traffic and everything else?
Right, right. And that's a good question. And their transportation management plan, TMP, is, excuse me, is the source of the answers, if you will, for us. They came out, they being the Army, for BRAC 133, came out with a final TMP, and was released at the end of July. And it gives measures that they plan to take to reduce the number of vehicles coming into the center. Part of it is a lot regarding public transit shuttles coming from key points, key metro points, coming from the Pentagon. The consultants working on the project for BRAC 133 have been in conversation with Arlington and our transportation, our transit folks, our experts, to say what resources are available from Arlington. The same has been going on with Fairfax, because Mark Center is sandwiched between Alexandria and Fairfax. Excuse me, Arlington and Fairfax. And so it's important for us all to be in conversation about this. So a shuttle program, a robust shuttle program, is being thought about. WMATA completed a BRAC study. And there are some recommendations in there related to the transit bus routes potentially. But again, from where to where? And will they be direct routes from the metro, from the VRE to the Mark Center? If they're not direct, people will not take them and they will get in their cars. So a public transit shuttle, public bus program, van pooling, carpooling, maybe even slugging. Those are some of the things that have come up as potentials.
We're talking to the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Dr. Andrea Morris. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What will happen to your hard-earned wealth after you die? How do you protect your assets for your family? Will your heirs squander it away? Will creditors and predators try to take it away from your loved ones? At Zelle Law, our goal is to give you peace of mind in planning for your retirement and beyond by helping you construct the best life and estate plans customized to your needs. Find out what you need to know on Blueprint for Wealth. Join me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
This week's Half Price DC offer is a tubing trip for two by River and Trail Outfitters for just $25, a $50 value.
River and Trail Outfitters offers whitewater rafting, tubing, kayaking, canoeing, and biking on the C&O Canal near Harper's Ferry.
Just a one-hour drive from the DC metro area. Visit them on the web at rivertrail.com or call 888-I-GO-PLAY.
$25 gets you a River and Trail Outfitters tubing trip for two. Buy your Half Price tubing trip today while supplies last at halfpricedc.com.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
What are some of the critical transportation challenges facing the U.S.? How is the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, or RITA, advancing an intelligent transportation system? What is IntelliDrive? And what role does technology play in making our transportation systems safe, secure, and efficient? Listen next week as these topics and more will be explored with Peter Appel, Administrator of the Research and Innovative Technology Administration within the Department of Transportation. Join host Michael Keegan next week on The Business of Government Hour.
Deloitte invites you to join Debriefs, a series of 60-minute webcasts focused on topics of interest to federal and state government executives. Debriefs webcasts feature Deloitte professionals discussing critical issues that affect your organization. For more information and to register, visit www.deloitte.com/us/debriefs.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about the BRAC, and we're talking about, which is the Base Realignment and Closure. And this 2005 BRAC had a major impact on this area, kind of the changing of the dynamic and pushing out 17,000 jobs into other areas, and the creation of the Mark Center that we've been talking about, and changes in a lot of different directions that's having an impact on the D.C. area, but especially Arlington County. We're talking to the BRAC coordinator of Arlington County, Dr. Andrea Morris, and we're talking about what's going on with the BRAC. Dr. Morris, we were talking about kind of the what's going to happen in terms of, you know, implementing some new kind of transportation management plans to put people into the Mark Center. Is anything else? I know you covered several different pieces about bus lines and slugging and all the other kind of stuff. Anything else going on with that?
Well, the Defense Department itself, Washington Headquarters Services, is leading this, and they are diligently working, and I certainly must commend them, diligently working to survey the population to find out what they are interested in, what they're willing to do, if you will, until a better scenario is in place. Again, this population is used to traversing public routes, and they want to continue that. Getting their vehicle is not something that they plan to do to come into work, come in toward the inner ring. And so WHS is consistently in conversation with them. And we, because of our location in Crystal City, again, we hear from them. They come into the center. They call us. They email us, asking us the questions. I get inquiries from some of the heads, some of the leads, if you will, and the BRAC leads, if you will, in the agencies to say, what's going on? What's the conversation about transportation? That's what the people want to know. And so I'm glad that the conversations are ensuing. Unfortunately,
so
we don't have
it's still very much so up in the air. I mean,
it
no
is.
One has a concrete plan.
Unfortunately not.
About, I mean, you know, by 2011, which is really right around the corner, do we anticipate a concrete plan to say, okay, for you 6,400 people who are moving over here, these are the various plans we've laid out. Option A is this, option B is this. Is that going to be happening?
I think that's what the Army wants to happen, yes. Their TMP is the move toward that, and it's the final plan, if you will. Now, rolling out that final plan is something different. How do you operationalize that? That's what we're looking for now. Whether we will see, these are the routes for the shuttle. Here's one way to get in. These are the routes for van pooling. This is another way to get in. We're going to have a public, a private bus, if you will, that's going to start on in Fredericksburg and drive up. That's another route. We're hopeful that those will be the outcomes from their TMP. Time's going to tell. Again, conversations are continuing. There's still many decisions that have to be made, but the effort is being put there. And I'm, again, I must say that the effort is certainly being put there.
You were at the Association for Defense Communities just recently out in San Francisco. And I think while you were out there, that's when that announcement came out that Secretary Gates made the announcement about possibly closing down the Joint Forces Command in Norfolk, and then also eliminating the Business Transformation Agency, among other things.
Yes.
BTA is already part of the agencies being BRAC, so this is like a double hitter for them. What's going on with that? How is maybe the BRAC transition center going to be involved? I mean, what kind of planning is being done? Are you guys going to get involved in helping out the Norfolk situation as well? What's happening?
The information that was given to us last week in San Francisco was deliberate. And the reason I say deliberate is because there were so many questions as to what in the world does this mean? This announcement comes out the first day of the conference, and there are just rumorings going around, just a lot of rumblings about it. And so what we learned is that this is a preliminary statement, if you will. These are his plans. his chief of staff, from what I understand, is going to be leading a committee of sorts that will come up with final recommendations as to what will be the quote-unquote closures, the reductions, the number of positions that will be eliminated. Now, he was very clear in saying that BTA, the Business Transformation Agency, will be eliminated. And again, as you spoke to earlier, the BTA is on the BRAC list. And for them now, that means that they will not be relocated. They will be fully eliminated. It's not a closure. It's an elimination.
And what are you hearing from BTA? I mean, has that automatically, a number of people from BTA have been calling the BRAC Center like, hey, listen, I need to find another job?
Yes, they've come in. They're coming in by the loads. And what they've said to us is that I've been told that my job is being eliminated, but I don't know what that means, or I haven't been told anything else in that, and I'm not waiting, so I want to try to find a job now. And so what we're doing is responding. We hope to go inside and just do a comprehensive seminar with them, if you will, an overview of who we are, what we do, and services we can offer to them instead of the piecemeal side. So we're working to get inside now to do that. But yes, there's been an increase.
So kind of being proactive and try to.
Yes.
And is there a timeline for their elimination? Is it talking about another year, or really is it about 2011, 2012?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
And that's one of the questions that's up in the air. That was not definitively given. Again, I think that his chief of staff will come with those formal recommendations, but that's on the table to be closed. And with the joint forces in Norfolk, our delegation, beginning with our governor and then the federal and state leaders, are all petitioning him to reconsider, and actually sent letters to the president as well to have him reconsider this. Many of them consider that his decision was outside of the BRAC process, and because it's eliminating more than 1,000 jobs, it has to be a part of the BRAC process. What Secretary Gates is saying is that because this is an elimination, not a closure, it does not fit the BRAC definition. So there's a lot of back and forth right now. Not quite sure what that's going to mean going forward. There are activities that are related to the joint forces in Northern Virginia, so there will be an impact to us. And importantly, the impact that we're monitoring is a contracting tail. There are many contractors
affected.
Because even
in his announcement, he mentioned that he was trying to cut back on
Absolutely.
A number of contractors.
10% and a year.
And a number of those contractors are in Arlington.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And that's our major concern.
Are you
concern.
Starting to hear from those contractors in terms of, you know, some levels of concern
yes.
about their workforce?
Yes, not quite sure what it's going to mean. So, again, okay. our question to them is, or our information to them is, we're here, we're ready, let's start the conversation. We're keeping our ear to the federal side to find out as much information as we can and relay it to you as we get it. Some are saying, okay, let's kind of do a wait and see. Let's find out what this can and will mean to us, and then we'll move.
Okay. It seems like there's almost a lot of some scary times for some
yes,
people
very
in
uncertain.
The air. You mentioned in the beginning of the show that, and I don't know if this was kind of more you speculating, but that there may be another round of BRAC coming.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
something that you heard at this conference?
Well, there's been speculation about another BRAC round since 2005, actually. The date 2013, 2015 has come up. With Secretary Gates' announcement, he included in there that he wants the services to look at reducing bases and installation footprints.
Okay.
So that can set it up, and that's what people are saying. See, aha, there it is. There, he's setting up for another BRAC round.
We're looking towards a trend from what we're seeing that the Secretary Gates, and I know he's talking about he's leaving in 2011, 2012, right before the next election period.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to put DOD in kind of a pattern of kind of reducing
yes,
kind
is.
Of costs and mm-hmm. cutting down base and
mm-hmm.
saying we're bloated right now. Is that what we're hearing?
Yes, that is what we're hearing. And part of the conversation also is the decrease across the waters, reducing our footprint overseas as the bulk of this effect. And again, to the depth that comes true, we're not sure yet, but what's reverberating here, again, as a contracting side for us in particular, and what that, the reach of that, what's that going to be? Because we've also heard that DOD may try to require contractors who work on their projects to be in secured spaces, which we are absolutely not for.
Okay. We got to, this is a longer discussion, but before we close out, I just want to make sure people get the information, because it's like the BRAC Transition Center is doing a lot to kind
mm-hmm.
of help out. How do they find out information about your services, about what's going on the BRAC Transition Center, where you're located?
Yes, we are in Crystal City. We are 1750 Crystal Drive. and look for the Morton Steakhouse sign. And actually, you can smell it every day about 11 a.m.
You're not giving out free steaks out in the
Well, Brexit. Unfortunately, they're not open for lunch, so I can't do that. But we're at 1750 Crystal Drive. Our website is www.brackarlingtonva.us. brackarlingtonva.us. Our phone, 703-418-1130.
Now, in terms of the people who are service, who can get services, you've got to be a BRAC employee, somebody from DOD, but who else? I mean, I know there's a couple different service areas. Can you give us that real quick?
BRAC workers and their dependents, as well as the contracting community. Those who have contracts with DOD BRAC agencies are welcome to come in as well.
And should you know that already? Should you have a letter, or if you're not, if you don't know that you're on a contract, or does that mean subcontractors who are
It does.
I mean, how do you find this out?
The prime contractor can tell you if you're on a BRAC project or not. So if you're a sub and you're not sure, ask. If it's with a DOD agency, more than likely you are. So just ask the question. Feel free to call us and we'll do our due diligence to find out as well.
We're talking to the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, Dr. Andrea Morris. Thank you so much for coming on Fed Access.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.